Diary, September 25th to October 5th, 1885. Basel, Switzerland. September 25th to October 5th, 1885. Labors in Switzerland. September 25th, 1885. Basel. I went into the early morning meeting. Several prayers were offered in French and English. My heart was drawn out after God in earnest prayer for the Lord to help and strengthen and bless us and to impress our hearts with the sacredness and importance of His work. I had the burden upon me at the early stage of this meeting to say some plain things. I presented the great and solemn truths that had been given to us from God to be proclaimed to the world. We should certainly fail if we did not walk in the light. Our success and prosperity in this great and good work depend on our seeking daily counsel and help from God. With divine aid, His servants can do what ought to be done and never fail. However strong the powers of darkness may press upon us, one can chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight. I was wrought upon by the Spirit of God to tell them that as a people and also as God's ambassadors, we are far behind our opportunities and privileges. We stand condemned by the Word and especially by the law of God according to our delinquencies. God looks upon the heart. No people have been favored with the measure of grace which has been manifest to us living in these last days. And if the people having so great light and superior privileges have not improved them, our condemnation must be in accordance with the non-improvement of the talents given us. Many testimonies were born evidencing that some were determined to consecrate themselves wholly to God. We had in the forenoon a conversation with Brother Daniel Bordeaux. Elder Whitney, Elder Lane, W.C. White, and Daniel Bordeaux's wife were present. I was compelled to bear a testimony of reproof, not pleasant for me, but very grievous. May the Lord set home this testimony. I believe that Satan has been repulsed, and that the Lord will give Brother Daniel Bordeaux the victory, the conviction through His Holy Spirit of his mistakes. We sought the Lord in earnest prayer. We presented the whole matter of our difficulties before Him who cannot err. He knoweth all our perplexities, and we believe He did hear us, and will take this case of painful difficulties in His own hands. We see that some of our brethren are coming to the light. We are rejoiced to find Elder Madison in an excellent state of mind. His testimonies are to the point. He seems to be in perfect harmony with the meeting, and helps us much in all the efforts we have made. Thank the Lord. We had arranged for a meeting of the ministers alone in the evening. This was carried out, and we had about 17 assembled, ministers and their companions. Brother Daniel was present. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me as I prayed for light and grace from heaven. My faith laid hold upon the promises of God. His Spirit came into our meeting in large measure. Hearts were broken and contrite before Him. Brother Daniel was wrenching himself from the shackles of Satan. He was surrendering his will to God. Satan had thought to gain the victory over our brother whom we love in the Lord, but he was signally defeated. All but one prayed most earnestly, and many tears were shed. Brother Albert Vuillumier's prayer was in French, but we understood the Spirit. The angels of God were in our midst. Light and power from God were there. Brother Madison's prayer was indicted by the Lord and was most fervent, offered in great brokenness. I felt the peace of Jesus. I had carried a heavy load, and now I rolled that load upon the great burden-bearer. I could do nothing. Jesus could do all things, and I felt the peace of Christ in my heart. Oh, what can we do without Jesus? How dark and lonely would be our lives! He is our only helper. Sabbath day was set apart by fasting and prayer. A becoming solemnity rested upon all assembled. We are assured we shall have the victory. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. September 26th, 1885. Basel. Rainy morning. The early morning meeting was appointed at 6 o'clock. I had been so burdened I spent some time in prayer. I could not sleep much. I felt unable to attend the morning ministers' meeting, but felt that I should lose a blessing if I remained away. We found 23 assembled in a small room. I opened the meeting with prayer, and the Lord indeed came preciously near unto me, and apparently to all those assembled. Brother Daniel Bourdeaux then prayed and confessed his weakness in yielding to the temptations of the devil. He made a more full surrender to God and was coming to the light, and light from God was coming into his heart. The prayers offered were fervent and in brokenness of heart, with weeping, and the blessing of the Lord was in our midst. I was helped and strengthened by the Spirit of the Lord to speak to my brethren with many tears and present before them the pure, holy character of our work and the necessity of the improvement of all the talents God had given us. In the night previous, a book was opened before me with the record of the past year's labor of the workmen, just as God viewed it. As I traced down the record, there stood every defect. With some, many hours spent in visiting and talking, occupied with unimportant matters, were registered as idle, time which should have been devoted to intense, interested work in the cause of God. How different than their report appeared the record of some of the laborers! How unsatisfactory to themselves! Every time that they associated with their fellow men, opportunities were open, could they have seen them, to draw minds to the Savior, and to drop seeds of truth. But opportunities came and passed, and were not seen or improved. Words of no consequence were spoken, and the evidence was given that the message of warning was not uppermost in their minds. It was not resting as a burden on their souls, that whenever their lips opened, it would flow out, in reflecting the light of Christ given them, to bless others. This is the profitable, true education for all ministers who labor in word and doctrine. This register recounted unfulfilled duties, days spent without prayer, and night comes with nothing to show for the day's labor. There were recorded large expenses and but little results. Other reports showed that the laborers had done their work with less expenditure of means, but better results. There was instruction given by the one whose hands held the records and whose eyes were tracing every feature of the records. His words were, "You cannot trust in your own human ability or wisdom. You must have union of effort, union of faith, and you must counsel together. Not one of you is sufficient to be a leader. God will work for his people if they will give him a chance, give him their hearts and minds. You are not working for men, that men may receive your wages. In one sense, but shall we call this your wages? Oh no! The eternal reward is to be given the faithful workers. Jesus will give you your wages. All our faculties must be cultivated for eternity, doing better and still better work." At 2:30, I spoke to a goodly number of people from Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 7. The Lord led my mind in a channel unexpected to myself, but from the testimonies born, I think it was just what the people needed. I had a testimony of encouragement for Sister Oyen, and I exhorted her to take Christ as her Savior. He had thoughts of mercy upon her, And if she came to him, believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all who diligently seek him, she would find comfort and encouragement and hope. She would find nothing to inspire her with faith in looking to herself for recommendation. She must come to Jesus with her imperfections, believing that he alone could remove these defects. Christ alone could remove from her the stains of sin, blot out her past mistakes and transgressions, and give her his own righteousness, which is the white linen of the saints. I said, Jesus stands at the door of your heart, knocking, my sister, inviting you to let him in. Will you hear his voice? Will you open the door? Will you welcome Jesus? Will you renounce self? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my child, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Jesus came to save sinners, not to destroy them. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 5, verse 32. You who are sick need a physician, and Jesus, the great and all-successful physician, has come to heal the sin-sick soul. Let him do his soul-saving work for your soul. Wilt thou be made whole? He is saying to you, John 5, verse 6. What answer have you to give? Sister Martha Bordeaux, my dear sister, Jesus loves you. Why gather about your soul the clouds of darkness? Why walk in the fog of unbelief? You cannot glorify Christ while doing this. Come to the clear light where there is no darkness, no shadows. Come just as you are, all helpless and hopeless, unless he shall undertake your case. Will you let him help you? He says he is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. When the promise is so ample, why do you stand in the shadow? I am the resurrection and the life, says Christ. John 11, verse 25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verses 13 to 18. Have you not, my sister, every encouragement? Gather up your confidence. Have you not endeavored not only to receive, but to believe in Christ in your daily life as his professed disciple? Actions speak louder with Christ than words. There are those who conceal their want of true spiritual power by loud talk and assertions of large things. Truth that sanctifies the mind and heart is always simple and expressed in simple language. Loud noise and shouting that are destitute of the love of Christ pass as assumption without the signature of the divine, that heavenly grace which comes from genuine simplicity and bears the fruit of genuine heavenly origin. Jesus Christ, the great teacher, worked in the most natural simplicity to meet the people where they were and to distinguish before them the real from the false. September 27th, 1885. Basel. Rainy morning. Attended the morning meeting for the ministers. We had a room full of ministers and their wives. I opened the meeting with prayer. Many earnest, heartfelt prayers were made. There seemed to be a desire for more thorough consecration to God. The prayers went up as the heart of one man. When the prayers were ended, I made some remarks in regard to the workers in the vineyard, of the Lord's being of one mind, of one judgment, ready to receive advice and to be counseled. We were of such material that the Lord could do nothing for us unless we submitted to His molding hand. We must be molded and worked as clay is molded in the hands of the potter. You may have thought it strange that I should say so much in regard to children being educated and disciplined and taught submission and perfect obedience and respect to their parents. These lessons are essential for them in order that they may learn submission and obedience and reverence for God. These uneducated, neglected children, left to have their will and their way, carry the unsubmissive, untamable spirit into their religious experience, and the numerous church difficulties grow out of this deficient training in their childhood. We have our work made exceedingly hard. We meet strong wills, untamable wills, that know nothing of submission. They will argue their way and plead for their wills in the very face of the testimonies of the Spirit of God. And if they yield, it is not with a good grace. We meet these lion wills that have been received as an inheritance and continually cultivated until they have grown with their growth and strengthened with their strength, and when their way is crossed, they rise like a lion in his strength. The will, the strong, set, determined will, is essential for every one who embraces the truth. But this will must be sanctified through the truth and submerged in God's will. It must not bear the selfish mold, to wrestle for the supremacy, but the grace of Christ must be seen in the will, in the words, and in ways of every one of us. When our human way is crossed, we must not lose self-control. We must not push Christ from the soul temple and enthrone Satan there. But we must become meek and lowly of heart, be willing learners in Christ's school, and study carefully the perfect model in the life and character of Christ. Our will must be exercised to ever advance in the right way and never to be on the wrong side. Some consider it is a virtue ever to claim they are right. The testimonies of the Lord have followed some for many years. While they profess to believe them, they have not made essential changes in their character. If light is neglected, if you do not walk in the light, it becomes darkness to you. The Lord calls upon every one of us to set our mark higher, to reach no low and common standard, but to reach the Bible standard. The Lord would have us to exercise living faith. He would have Sister Martha Bordeaux to walk out of the darkness into the light and not to think so much of her imperfections that have enshrouded her soul. It is her privilege and Sister Oyen's to be free in Jesus, to make His promises her own. These souls have been doubting, distrusting, disbelieving. Jesus has not left them. Jesus has not dropped them. His mercies are free and full to them, but they do not accept Jesus as their own Savior. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. Now do not keep the door of the heart closed, and then mourn because Jesus is not your guest. He is knocking at the door of your hearts. Will you open the door? He invites His presence. Let Him in. Oh, let the dear Savior in. He wants to give to you peace, happiness, joy, and His power. Will you accept the precious boon? Will you turn your face from Him and say, He loves me not. I cannot see Him. I want to find Him. He is standing at the door of your heart. Open unto Him. There were many precious testimonies born. Sister Oyen spoke more hopefully, said she could now see that her unhappiness for these years had been because she had not exercised faith. Her unbelief had shut the Savior out of her heart. She was now determined to commit herself fully to Jesus Christ, and that every step should be a step heavenward by faith. Brother Oyen bore an excellent testimony that he had felt he was too unworthy to have any part in the work of God, and he had better return to America. But he had received much light and believed it was the purpose of God that they should come to Europe to save his soul and his wife's soul. And he believed the Lord would work for them if they did the best they could. The meetings were of great value to them, both himself and his wife. Brother Madison's testimonies tell on the right side every time. He has been a blessing all through these meetings. Many humble confessions were made, many tears shed. Brother Daniel is having a blessed work done for him. He seems clothed and in his right mind. Sister Martha Bordeaux gave a good testimony. The power of darkness is broken. We know it is broken. She says she will trust in God. The Lord Jesus is her Savior. She will dismiss her doubts. She will not any more deplore her darkness, but talk light of Jesus and His love and His mercy and His willingness to save. We do not see Brother Andrews coming to the light as we desire. Everyone has given marked evidences of a great and precious work being done for them, except Elder Andrews and Brother John. But we will not let the matter rest until they show that God is at work for them. Elder Andrews seems to be as cold as an iron wedge, and although he speaks in meeting, it seems very formal. When the Lord is passing by to bless and enrich His people with His full salvation, why does not the man break through where the living waters flow freely and be refreshed? I went to my room and wrote 10 pages of important matter for the laborers in Europe. I think a cloud is over Brother Durland. He is not the man for Europe. He has not wisdom in expending money. He makes large expenditures. He needs to exercise economy, else he will drain the treasury. Brother John's manner of labor will be after the same order, flourishing himself as a remarkable man to do a big work, neglecting, not seeing fruit, neglecting the work next him. The humble ways and means of reaching the people are what we all need. After reading this matter, I talked some plain things, and for the first time since our meetings commenced, Brother John surrendered his ideas and his set notions of laboring in large watering places. He has gone to Wales, but in the place of working with the Welsh and getting a knowledge of the language, he has situated himself in a large watering place and hired a house for above $100 a year, a portion of it to be used for a meeting house, just as though he were to raise up a large company at once that would demand any such facilities.
The matter I read to them was such as to have the effect to change their notions and lead them, in the place of sowing upon all waters, as Brother John with his mistaken notions has often repeated to them, to begin earnestly the sowing in the Lord's way, to sow the precious seeds of truth nearby, to do the work in humility, to enter families, to have Bible readings. Sitting down as with the family, have them read the text, get them interested, pray with them. This will be of far greater account than so much sermonizing. Some men love to preach, but not to come to the few and in meekness instruct those who are in perplexity and darkness. This work must be taken up more fully by our ministering brethren. Come close in sympathy with needy souls. We had some precious talk over this matter. We have worked for love and union all through the meeting, and I think there is now better harmony. All accept the words I speak to them, although they are very close and pointed sometimes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are working to produce unity. Ministers who teach the Word must not work away from Christ's manner of teaching. The great physician of our souls and bodies was always simple in his instruction and approached the suffering and needy in the most simple way. In his lessons of instruction, he met the people understandingly, speaking the heavenly, soul-saving truths in ordinary words which were understood. They were not set forms of speech, but in language to be understood. September 28, 1885. Basel. Rainy morning. There is snow all around us upon the mountains. I have had a precious night's rest. The burden seems to be dropping off from me as I speak in simple language. Attended the early morning meeting. After nearly all in the house had borne their testimony, I spoke for 30 minutes. This is reported. Good testimonies were borne, especially by our French brethren, of the blessings received. At 8 o'clock, we attended the ministers' meeting. I made some remarks. I told them I regretted very much that while others of our brethren seemed to be coming to the light, that I could not discern that Brother Andrews was making any advancement. His position had been for several years to be very well satisfied without the workings of God's Spirit in his heart. He had a hard, dark field of labor, and in his testimonies alone could not burn his way to hearts full of prejudice and bound about with customs and commandments of men. I entreat of you, Elder Andrews, do not leave this place till you shall have the light and love of God to go with you. He can make your work successful, so that you will bring sheaves to the Master. You want to humble your heart before God. You need His converting power of grace every day. You want to get away from thinking and talking of yourself and making your family a center. There is, my brethren, a disposition to make a great deal of ourselves, as though me and my relations were special treasures before God above everyone else. Oh, many precious opportunities we have let slip because we had not interest enough in souls and enough of the love of Jesus in our hearts to make the most of every opportunity to bring souls to the knowledge of the truth. Much of the preaching has had no saving salt in it. The words were good enough, but it needed the blood, the saving blood of sacrifice, the holy fire, the divine unction. We must present the truth as it is in Jesus. Missionaries for God, how sacred is your work! Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Isaiah 52, verse 11. How many are preaching the truth who need to learn the first principles, their ABCs in the Christian life? Mercy and the love of God lie at the very foundation of Christianity, and the iron will needs to be melted over, and we have Christ's will. Brethren, we all need less of building up self and more of the saving grace of Jesus. The light reflected from the cross of Christ needs to flash in our pathway, that we may see what it cost the Son of God to redeem us from sin. See Jesus all bruised upon the accursed tree, and for us, that we might be saved from sin and perdition. Then shall we talk of trials? Shall we grieve over the sacrifice we have to make?
God forbid.
Brethren, you need to move in wisdom and not arrange things at home or around you in such a way that you will have to be double-minded, serving self, serving tables, while the work of saving souls is miserably done. Earthliness marks the lives of many. They do not act like God's missionaries. They fill their houses with children and bring burdens upon the wife by adding to the family when the end of all things is at hand. God requires that His servants, giving the last note of warning to the world, shall be serving Him with devotion, having their eyes single to the glory of God. Nothing is to come in between them and the work of God. Selfish interest must be laid aside. They are God's employed servants and must give themselves, as did the apostles of old, to searching the Scriptures and to prayer. Thus they come in close connection with God. Brother Andrews arose and made more thorough confessions. He seems to be broken for the first time, and I hope the work will go forward in his heart, for he needs it. He seemed to have no more of the missionary spirit than a man with no responsibility of the work upon him. But the crust is broken, and may the softening, subduing influence of God's Spirit lead him to humility and meekness. Elder Erzenberger has come nobly to the work, humbling himself and confessing his backslidings. Elder Madison is a transformed man. The peace of Christ is revealed in his countenance. He speaks of gaining precious victories over self, and there has not been a word or action on his part that we could take exceptions to. He is indeed in a good place. His testimonies are apt, meek, humble, with tears, and so sensible. Brother Daniel Bordeaux is a converted man. The Lord has wrought for him. He talks well, and he has gained a precious victory. Brother Albert Vuillumier spoke with deep feeling. He said this early morning meeting was the best he ever attended. Sister White's remarks went home to his heart, and his wife also was greatly blessed. He said she wanted to embrace her and thank her and kiss her as she went by, for she had received such precious light. Well, all the testimonies were good. Bordeaux's testimonies have been good. There is a spirit of harmony and love. I know that we were needed here, for there were untamable spirits that needed the testimony and control of the Spirit of God to bring them into line. Brethren, John and some others have at last yielded their plans, no longer to spread themselves in the largest places, but to work in a more humble way from house to house, giving Bible readings, seeking the Lord in humble, sincere prayer, and in this way reach hearts. And then they are prepared to engage in a larger effort as light is diffused with Bible readings. They call in small companies and preach to these in a simple manner, to reach the understanding of those entirely ignorant of our truth. But with his present manner of labor, he would soon become wholly incapacitated to labor at all, and would return as a martyr to America, having worn out his physical strength in this missionary field. God has not given Brother John any such work. He is not a man of remarkable abilities, and he cannot reach the outdoor crowd by open-air preaching. Mailed letters to Elder Daniels, 8 pages. Sister Lockwood, 4 pages. May Walling, 2 pages. Sister Ings, 4 pages. Reuben Tapley, 3 pages. September 29, 1885. Basel. Last evening I spoke to the people upon the plan of labor, not branching out so wide, but taking the work close by their own door, laboring for those next to them, taking their Bibles and sitting down with families in a humble heart and opening to them the Scriptures. This work will be less expensive, require less outlay of means, and in the end, there will be much more fruit to show for their labors if they will humble themselves. Brother Madison gave an appropriate discourse. After the discourse, Brother Albert Vuillumier was ordained. Elder Lowe first prayed in English, and then Brother Bordeaux in French, and then the ministers united in laying on of hands. Brother Whitney gave the charge. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, 2.
Attended the morning meeting, the closing meeting of our council. I made a few remarks at the close of the meeting, exhorting those present to fight the good fight of faith, to keep their hearts in the love of God, not to dishonor God with their unbelief. If doubts come into the mind, do not gratify Satan by expressing them. Talk faith, walk out by faith. Let all your actions testify that you believe and trust in God. And as the humble servants of God go forth into the great harvest field, pray for them that God would prepare their way and give them fruits of their labor. Our hearts have been drawn together at this meeting by the love of Christ. Let that love be cherished. Made a visit to the dentist. Had a lengthy talk with Sister Whitney. Mailed 24 pages to Elder Daniels, the same to Elder Butler. September 30th, 1885. Basel. Our meetings are ended. Our brethren are returning to their homes. We part with tender feelings. In the forenoon, about 10 o'clock, I call a select company together and read to them some things that were applicable to those present. October 1st, 1885. Basel. It is cloudy. The weather is unsettled. At 9 o'clock, go to the dentist's. On returning, we saw two girls about 17 years old, one on either side of the tongue of a heavy cart like two horses. A large, broad belt was upon the shoulders of one. The other had a strap about her waist. The cart was loaded, and they were dragging it uphill. A stout man and a boy about 10 years old were behind, pushing. This would be a singular sight in America, but nothing unusual here. Women draw hand wagons loaded with fruit or vegetables. We purchased a chair in the city. A woman delivered it, carrying it on her head. Women of the medium class go bareheaded in cold weather as well as in warm. We said goodbye to Brother Albert Vuillumier and his good wife. We prepared matter of importance for publication. It rained very hard all the afternoon. Had a beautiful sunset. October 2nd, 1885. Basel. Slept none since 3 o'clock. I feel thankful to God for the good health I enjoy. It is a cloudy morning, but the clouds are passing away, and we hope to have sunshine today. At 9 o'clock, visited the dentist. Had a severe and painful operation upon my teeth. Through the day, devoted much time to writing. Visited with Brother Drew. Plans were discussed in regard to putting forth labor in London. After much prayer, it is thought best to have select colporteurs to commence labor in that field in a quiet way and see what can be done with our publications. Still have interest through much prayer. Move intelligently. No pompous spirit is to come into design or practice. If the chosen and accepted will pattern after Christ's example to instruct the people in all humility and kindly interest, the blessing of the Lord will be given them and will work with them. Be sure and seek the Lord for his wisdom, not exalting yourself. The large cities can be entered if you will watch unto prayer. When rough speeches are made, be not offended. Consider that you have a soul-saving message and that you can only obtain victories by walking humbly with the Lord Jesus. If the cities are entered, you must have the sure evidence that the heavenly angels must be your front guard and you rearward. It is the souls for whom Christ gave his precious blood that are perishing, and you must devise and plan to present Bible truths in simplicity to mothers and fathers, and to work as Christ worked. October 3rd,
1885, Basel. Slept well during the night, but my teeth are quite painful from yesterday's operation. We received this morning letters from Sister Lockwood, Brother Ramsey, Brother Ballou, May Walling. W.C. White received letters from Elders Butler and Whitney and Ramsey. We find much that is interesting and encouraging in these letters. We wish to answer them in a way to prove a blessing. Edith Andrews came in, engaged in a long conversation with her in regard to her religious standing. October 4th, 1885. Basel. Sick with severe pain in my head and teeth. Receive treatment of fomentation over my face. Obtain some relief. Converse with Sister Whitney. Edith Andrews has sent for a physician and had her lungs examined. Physician counsels her to leave Basel as soon as possible and go into the mountains where it is not warm but steady cold air. The physician says she must not be surprised if she has a hemorrhage at any time. She need not be frightened. October 5th, 1885. Basel. I am sick, suffering with fever on account of so much suffering with toothache. Visit the dentist. He gives me no relief. Edith Andrews, I learn, bled at the lungs this morning. We prepare to leave for Norway. Visit Edith. Converse and pray with her. She has had another attack, spitting blood. Her case is critical. I prayed with her earnestly. We feel deeply over her case. We long to see her in a decidedly better state spiritually.